The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News and World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We're about to have a brief conversation with the host of Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman. Amy, good to talk to you once again.
It's great to be with you, Mark.
So tomorrow at 4 o'clock, you're going to be in Baltimore.
That's right, and I'm really looking forward to it, to come to Baltimore once again, coming over to the University of Maryland, Baltimore School of Social Work, to just address the importance of independent media and how important it is that in these absolutely critical times of global warming and global warring that we have an independent media in this country.
So what do you think the media, the independent media is going to go? I mean, we're clearly the money is on the side of Fox TV and all the investments there, but there is a burgeoning movement and a growth from youth to indigenous communities, people of color, programs like yours, mine, ours, that are growing. So what do you think this is going to take us?
Oh, I mean, I think this is the answer for the future. You know, as we deal with issues like global warming, you can't have a media that's brought to you by the oil companies, by the gas companies, by the coal companies. You're closer to West Virginia than I am up in New York, and you know this disaster that took place, the worst coal mine disaster in 40 years. Frankly, I don't think it's just a tragedy. I think it's a crime. And when you have media that continues to be brought to you by the companies that are interested in perpetuating the coal, gas, and oil industry, you're not going to have really honest reporting. Whether we're talking about fracking, you know, the process of going in for natural gas that is polluting so many communities, we've talked with Josh Fox, who did the film Gasland, an amazing story of people turning on their faucets and they can light up their water. It ignites when you put a match to it. That's crazy because of gas getting into the water supply. We've got to seriously look at these issues, and not just with one expose either, because sometimes you might say, oh, but that was on the front page of the Washington Post, or it was inside the New York Times one day, or the Baltimore Sun, but really, it's about the regular drumbeat coverage of these critical issues. That's what sinks into the consciousness of the American people.
This is why programs like yours, mine and others and Hartman's are so important to get out these, to get this outing and a conversation going with our citizens and our neighbors. I mean, we had Maria Gonoa is coming on the show next Thursday to talk about, and I talked to her just the other day about her life and what's going on there. I mean, and the connections that go direct between, let's say, Appalachia and our homes. I mean, there's a link, and we have to make that link, I think, for everybody.
That's right.
So to talk a bit about what's up and coming. I was really excited to hear you're off to Bolivia. Tell us about
that. That's right. We're all off to Cochabamba, where 10 years ago the water wars took place. Where Bechtel, the U.S. corporation based in San Francisco, is going to privatize the water supply of Cochabamba, and the people of Cochabamba said, no, we can't afford this. Well, there is a people's movement throughout Latin America, and there are going to be 15,000 people in Cochabamba. And what's going to happen there is a climate summit that follows Copenhagen. Now, it's not that Copenhagen achieved anything long-lasting. The next big meeting like that will be in Mexico. But this, I think, is about people's movements in South America and Latin America and from around the world, realizing their governments aren't going to do this. It's going to be up to the people to make demands. And that's what's so exciting, giving voice to these social movements. That's what we're going to be doing, broadcasting daily at 8 o'clock on WEAA every morning from Cochabamba, Bolivia.
That is so exciting. It's just an important conference, having all these indigenous groups and communities to come together in Cochabamba to be heard. And the fact you're covering it for all of us in this country and around the world is an amazing, Amy. I want to thank you so much for what you do for us.
Oh, well, I'm really excited and going with the whole team of Democracy Now! And just to be able to provide a forum for people to speak for themselves, people who we don't usually hear, right? Not your typical pundits that you get on all the networks that know so little about so much, explaining the world to us and getting it so wrong. But people on the ground who are doing the work, those original, authentic voices that, oh, public media is all about.
Amy Goodman will be here tomorrow, 4 o'clock, University of Maryland at Baltimore School of Social Work. And, of course, we'll be listening to her all next week during the fund drive here at this station as she broadcasts from Cochabamba, Bolivia. Amy, thanks so much. Always great to talk with you.
Thanks so much, Mark, and looking forward to seeing people. By the way, that School of Social Work is at West Redwood Street, 525. Looking forward to seeing people there.
See you there tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM. The voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. I'm sitting in the studio with Dileta Gillespie. Dileta Gillespie is directing the new play at Theater Morgan based on Zora Neale Hurston's work called Spunk, originally written by George C. Wolfe and I think opened in New York in like 1993 or something like that, 91 maybe.
You know what? Honestly, I have to admit I'm really bad with the history of that. But yes, it was in the 90s.
It's my job to know these things.
That's okay. Well, I should know.
That's all right. Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and welcome. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Mark.
Good to see you again, too.
You as well. Yeah.
So tell us about this production that you're doing. I mean, it's a really interesting production, and it's a live music. And
absolutely. Well, it's officially a play with music. Okay, mm-hmm. So
as opposed to a musical.
As opposed to a musical, right? Right. And so it's it is very presentational, meaning that the actors will step out of character to deliver a line or two or to address the audience. And so it's a lot of fun for the audience because they feel like they are going along for the ride, so to speak. In fact, the house becomes part of the stage. And that was one of the things that I've tried to do. We actually performed the show this morning to some of the local high schools. And at the talk back, that was one of the things that was said. So far, it feels like we've been successful at that.
So this play, it way back when, it won an Obie in New York.
Yes, it did.
And it's really an interesting play. I mean, these plays are built on short stories that Zora Neale Hurston wrote, correct?
Yes, actually, Zora wrote plays too, and very few people know about that. But I have a compilation of her plays actually at home, and I was familiar with those plays. And actually, Spunk, there is a story, a specific story that she wrote or a play entitled Spunk. However, that's not one of the tales that we do.
Uh-huh.
And George Wolfe, in his genius, pulled three other plays from her anthology and then gave them the title Spunk.
So let's talk about the parts in this. I mean,
sure.
The characters like Guitar Man and Blue Speak Woman. And
yes. Guitar Man, I consider Guitar Man and Blue Speak Woman to be the glue that sort of holds the pieces together.
They're the thread.
They are the thread that runs through all the entire pieces. They serve as both narrators and they sort of give exclamation points. Blue Speak Woman is, of course, the narrator, and she addresses the audience as well as helps to tell the story. And then Guitar Man, through his guitar playing and singing, also does the same thing.
Who do you have doing those roles?
We have Keisha Holmes, who is a recent graduate of Morgan. Should I say she's walking next month. She finished her paperwork in December. In fact, she already has a job. She works actually for Kaiser Permanente doing theater around issues of health. And so we're really proud of her. Absolutely. And then we have Jabola Jarba, who is actually a music student. He is not a theater major, but he is a music student, and he loves to play. He has this beautiful, rich, resonant bass voice, and he has a couple of solo numbers in the piece. And he also
As
Guitar Man. And he is sort of the underbed through the piece.
Let's go through the pieces of the play a little
bit.
So give people a sense of what they're going to see.
Absolutely.
Because it's alive with music and And comedy, and it's also serious. It's dramatic, and there's comedic parts in it.
Absolutely. I mean,
everything you can imagine to be in one little play is in there.
Absolutely. Zora Neale took, well, actually, as we said, or as I said, there are three specific plays all wrapped up into the one. The first one is called Sweat. And it is the tale of a long-suffering woman. All these are fables, basically.
Right.
Long-suffering woman who is married to an abusive man who gets his comeuppance at the end. And it is unusual that he actually chooses the vehicle for his demise. And that is revealed through the play. And, of course, I'm not going to give you any more details.
Can't do that because they got to come see this play.
That's right. Absolutely.
And the Gilded Six Bits is like a flip on that in some senses.
Yes, it is.
Because gender switch their nasty roles.
Absolutely. In this case, we have a young couple, been married just over a year, and it is a story of forgiveness as a husband has to learn to forgive his wife.
For being
less
than faithful.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so we tell the story. A lot of movement. A lot of musical underscoring and just beautiful tales. And then, of course, right smack in the middle of the two is Harlem Slang. And the first and the third piece are actually based in Eatonville, Florida, which is an all-black incorporated town and the first in the United States, to my understanding. And being from Oklahoma, I know about that because we have a lot
of those towns in Oklahoma where you
still there.
Come from.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. So, so it was really nice for this tale to be set in Harlem. And it's a completely different take. It's set in the 1940s. And it's during the days where pimps were considered the prostitutes, interestingly enough. So we have a couple of Southern migrants in New York and trying to find their way through survival.
And so how big is this cast?
We have a cast of 11.
Wow.
The initial show was for 7 people, and I just had a feeling that I needed to open it up a little bit I made some really interesting choices with some of the characters.
What'd you do?
Well, we had casting issues. In particular, we have sort of a shortage of men in Theater Morgan.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So rather than have the same actors play almost every single role, what I did was, in the spirit of Zora Neale Hurston and the pioneering woman that she is, we did a role reversal. So several of the characters played by men or written in the script by men are actually played by women.
As women or as men?
As women.
As women.
As women. And, of course, Zora herself being a pioneer and a lot of the story being based, or should I say grounded in the blues, of course, you have all the wonderful blues women, Bessie Smith, Ma Rainey, who were very much pioneers at the time when women weren't really allowed to speak or to have a voice. They were right there in the front telling the stories of black American, black women, and, you know, they did all the racy stuff as well. So I actually took dramatic license and made those choices, and I think it works really well.
Did you design the set as well?
I did not design the set. We have a wonderful designer. This is a hugely collaborative effort. We worked with Shirley Dunlap, who is a coordinator of the theater program at Morgan, who couldn't be here today. She got a hold of Tim Jones, who is he's at University of Maryland. And so he came aboard to help design the set, and it is just a beautiful set. It really is very ingenious in how we use it, and that's all I will say. But we work with a lot of different levels, and it really works. And one of my actors, who is actually not a student, he is a graduate of the Theater of the Arts in Baltimore, and he went to Juilliard. His name is Brandon J. Price. He's done a lot of things. He was on The Wire.
Yeah, right.
When it was Brandon. Okay, well, he's in the piece as well.
He's in the play?
Yes, he is.
That's good.
Yes,
some good actors in the play.
We have some wonderful actors, and so he
works
the set like nobody's business.
So we've been talking with Diletta Gillespie, Diletta, and this will be playing through on the weekends.
Yes,
through the 16th, 17th, and 18th of April.
Yes.
Showtime 7:30.
7:30 on the Friday and Saturday evenings.
And then 2 o'clock matinees?
2 o'clock matinees on Saturday, 3 o'clock matinee on the Sunday.
And for ticket information, you can call 443-885-3625.
Absolutely.
Or email Theater Morgan Lap. Is that right?
IAP.
IAP.
Yes.
Theater Morgan
IAP. Right.
At AOL.
That's correct.
And it's at the Murphy Fine Arts Center.
Yes, Turpin Lamb Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have, we have tried to make it very interactive. And if people who are just interested, they want to just check it out, you can go. We have a Facebook page, Theater Morgan Facebook. We have footage from rehearsals. We have clips. We have photos as well. And you can go check it out.
I should have done them before we went on the air together.
That's
cool. You have a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page, absolutely. And, in fact, we are interviewing people as they come out of the show to get their reactions, and we will be posting those on a daily basis.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations to the players. Can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
And I know it's going to be phenomenal if you're directing it.
Please come out and support our students. The theater program doesn't get the big scholarships that the music program does, and our students work really, really hard. They do double, triple duty as crew as well, and it would just really be great for the public to come out and support live theater. Tyler Perry comes to the theater, and he sells out, and our students are working just as hard to get to that level, and we would love for the community to come and support them.
Thank you, Loretta.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Marianne Amos. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again and podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.